From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Now, on this 39th Earth Day, an example of green building, specifically a house in the Mount Pleasant neighborhood of Washington, D.C. It was built in the late 19th century, and now it has been rehabbed with a 21st century eye on the environment.
Hi, I'm Amy Levin.
Levin is a real estate agent. She bought this three-story house, and then she had it gutted and rebuilt.
Hi, I'm Peter Yost. I'm with Building Green from Brattleboro, Vermont.
Building Green publishes environmental building news and Green Spec, a guide to residential building materials for people who are concerned about the environmental impact of their homes. Peter Yost flew in from Vermont to see Amy Levin's very rare project, an urban residential gut rehab that's built to meet the LEED Platinum standard. LEED is spelled L-E-E-D, and since LEED is a program of the U.S. GBC, we start with a serving of green alphabet soup.
L-E-E-D stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design.
U.S. GBC, the U.S. Green Building Council, VOC.
That's a good one.
Volatile Organic Compound.
That's what we don't want.
When you make a home a lot more energy efficient, it means you're keeping a lot of the same air inside the house, so it's even more important that you not dump a bunch of chemicals into it. Low VOC or no VOC means that as the material dries or cures, it's giving off a lot less complicated organic molecules into the air.
Okay, let's go inside.
Yeah.
Amy Levin's greenhouse has a decidedly modern but rustic look inside. Exposed brick, open tread stairways to the second and third floors, blonde wood cabinets and stainless steel fixtures in the kitchen. The shelves and moldings are often rough-hewn, and a lot of what she used is recycled, including some of the wood.
So I guess starting in the front here, you know, basically all the flooring is reclaimed, you know, from the original structure. Some of it was moved around, and it's heart pine, so.
So in sort of the hierarchy of things, you've got reuse, first of all.
Yeah.
And then salvage, second.
Yeah, lots of reuse, lots of salvage, and I'll show you kind of when we walk through sort of little places where we did that. But, you know, I mean, building envelope being the biggest thing, the windows are pretty high up on the scale of the various U-factors and other things to keep the efficiency levels going. And then behind the walls, there's bio-based spray foam insulation.
A lot of materials being sort of hidden behind the wall, but yeah, you're going to have utility bills that bring that right back from in the forefront from behind those walls.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got my bill from the other house that I moved out of. My bills here are about half of what they were all winter. You know, I think the focus on the payback is one of those things that I think we really have to be selling people. I mean, social consciousness is super important, but, you know, from a dollars perspective, it's starting to become easier to show people that green pays.
There's a bunch of programs for new homes that actually provide energy bill guarantees.
Yeah.
And I've never heard of it being available on a retrofit, but the concept is pretty powerful because if you can tell people, well, you know, we'll guarantee what your bill's going to be because we have such confidence in the way the house performs. So there's a lot of ways to translate, you know, the hard work that's behind the walls into stuff that really catches people's attention.
Well, Amy, you talked to us about the envelope, about the roof, the walls, the floor. Now more into the interior. Let's
yeah,
move inside.
Yeah, sure,
I want you to
sure.
point out some things to us.
Okay, so all the trim here, all the windowsills, all the trim, and then also the breakfast bar is from the same guy who got me those locust trees out front. His name is Marcus Sims, and he has a company called Tree Incarnation. And he takes all felled trees from Montgomery County, Maryland, and makes furniture and dimensional lumber and things like that. I thought that was pretty cool. It's a local product. So as far as other materials in here, like the drywall is high percent recycled content. All the paints are either no or low VOC. And I tried to, you know, sort of mix and match, just being a trial house of, you know, using different types of paints and such. So in here.
Here we are in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And
the breakfast bar here is made out of mulberry. It's, again, another felled tree from Montgomery County.
I've never seen a piece of decorative mulberry. I mean, this is amazing. It's a really beautiful piece of wood.
He does amazing work, I think. So, the cabinets, this and the roof, I think I was most excited about as far as something that you can do that's green that can be less expensive than going to order. And it's something that cabinets are not often part of a green process at all, from finishes to materials and all that other stuff. Actually, if you want to open that door right there, you can kind of stick your nose in there and take a whiff. And you can smell the wheat board. Uh-huh. So there's wheat board there is what the boxes are made out of, and that's an agro byproduct. And then the veneer part and the doors and the sides are all made out of Pure Bond, which is Columbia Forest Products.
So this is a composite of some.
It's like a plywood almost.
But the veneer looks like maple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the countertops in the kitchen, what did you go for here?
So this is concrete. Looked at a couple different options, but I just like concrete. I like how it looks. There's a company here locally, a guy named Steve Eiler. His company's called Icon, and he tries to start using now like locally recycled aggregate product too. So I guess there's a dam here nearby where they're taking a bunch of stuff off the back of it, and people are trying to crush it up and reuse it into other concrete stuff. So
has he experimented at all with fly ash content in his concrete?
Oh yeah, absolutely. He does offset as much Portland cement as possible. I think it's, you know, you can go up to 50% now, I guess.
What's fly ash content?
The most environmentally damaging ingredient in concrete is Portland cement, and it's about a third of its content. It's very, very energy intensive to create, and the fuels they use to calcine the material are among the dirtiest fuels that we use. So whenever you can replace fly ash, which is the combustion byproduct of coal combustion, you're taking a waste material, and it actually improves the performance of the concrete.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool because it makes it a little bit darker, a little grayer, kind of gives it a little funkier look when you finish it.
Let's go upstairs. We walked up to the roof where Amy has a rack of evacuated tubes for her hot water heater. She and Peter Yost say this is an efficient form of solar energy collection. There's also a tankless gas-heated backup. This is a $500,000 rehab project, and it is green in a variety of ways. Green means solar energy. It means front-loading washer and dryer to cut down on water and energy use. It means double-flush toilets, less water for liquid waste than for solids. It also means using materials that are non-toxic, recycled, and recyclable, materials that conserve energy when they're produced and when they're in service. And Peter Yost says of all these green virtues, the greenest is durability. Install something that lasts a lifetime. That consumes less energy than something that's more efficient in the short run but has to be replaced several times. We're on the porch. I mean, what is the flooring and the railing? What's it all made of?
Yeah, so this is just Trex.
It's a plastic wood fiber composite material, and it sort of takes the best attributes of two very different materials. Plastics tend to contract and expand a lot. Wood rots. Well, if you mix them together, you get a lot less contraction and expansion, and you get a more durable material than the wood. Mm-hmm. And both are generally reclaimed materials that go into the manufacturing process.
I mean, one sign of what green is nowadays is green means easy on energy, durable, efficient, not necessarily natural. I mean, we're talking about lots of synthetic materials that go into making a very green home. I mean, I think 25, on the first Earth Day, I suspect that would have shocked people that the green house of the 21st century would have so much synthetics in it. But that's very much a part of what we're talking about here.
I think there's a real good connection between the name All Things Considered and green building, because All Things Considered is about looking at things from a whole bunch of different angles, and that's exactly what you do with green building. There are some natural materials that are very appropriate for use in 21st century houses, but there's a lot of neat stuff that we've made, particularly as it relates to energy efficiency, that does a better job than Mother Nature does. So that's the key to when you design, when you specify materials, and when you actually build the home, it's All Things Considered. It's taking a look at things from a bunch of different angles and then optimizing what you come up with for a solution.
That's Peter Yost of Building Green and Amy Levin of Washington, D.C. You can see her house and find more on the materials that she used at our website, npr.org. And as Peter Yost would say, it's All Things Considered from NPR News.